Everyone's talking about the Packers potentially keeping 7 wide receivers. But how about the outside linebackers? It's not something heavy in the media right now, but maybe it should be. We'll break the position down with Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kervu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the conclusion of OTAs and looking forward to minicamp. And to do those things, we have a guest joining us on the phone. We have Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog joining us for his monthly engagement on the show. Scott, how you doing this morning?
Fantastic. Great to be with you again, Brian.
It's a pleasure as usual. As kind of an introduction to today's discussion, I want to break down the numbers game on the Packers roster. We're going to be talking a lot about the outside linebackers today, kind of our topic of the day. There's been so much talk about keeping 7 wide receivers this year because, you know, there's been articles written in the media about it. But perhaps flying under the radar is the numbers game at outside linebacker, wouldn't you say, Scott?
Fully. You know, there's clearly a log jam at outside linebacker. And then the other thing that I'd add to that is, you know, when you try to put the numbers game together and you say, well, you got 2 quarterbacks maybe as a spot to create a spot, but you can oftentimes do the same thing with versatility in the offensive line. But as we've highlighted in the offensive line with all the changes that could be coming at the end of the year, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they also keep 9 to 10 offensive linemen as well. So because of that, it's going to be interesting to see how they make the numbers work across the roster. And one spot that I can't imagine them being able to pull a chip from is at the outside linebacker spot, where we clearly have a log jam of players that offer different talents and traits, and you can't necessarily steal from one to give to another, if you will.
Yeah, and it's remarkable considering, you know, Mike Neal and Andy Malumba aren't part of the equation, you know, how much depth they have at the position, maybe not elite depth, but, you know, there's quite a few, and that doesn't even include those guys who left the team in the offseason, Malumba signing with, I believe it was the Chiefs, and Mike Neal still on the open market. I suppose it's possible the Packers could bring him back, but for now, he's still remains at large. But Scott, let's start our player-by-player breakdown with Clay Matthews, obviously the blue-chip player at the position. The coaches seem committed to playing him more at outside linebacker this season. But how much? Is it going to be 100% of the time? That's the million-dollar question, I guess.
It's true. You know, I got to say that I have really mixed feelings about his move back to outside linebacker. It just feels to me like, you know, you have McCarthy talking about the importance of the middle of the field. And, you know, ever since Des Bishop, you know, got hurt for us, and it feels like the Packers have maybe devalued the inside linebacker spot until they plug and play.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, right? Right? It's until they plug and play Clay there. And let's face it, in my opinion, Clay was maybe a top 5 inside linebacker in the entire game. So I can certainly see why they want to get Matthews to be playing outside linebacker on third down as a true pass rusher, because that's really what he does best at the position. But, you know, I think that he brings complementary skills to both Ryan and Barrington. And I think when you put Ryan and Barrington at the inside linebacker spot, you kind of got the same guy. And I think that Matthews at the inside of the field You know, and as we touch on other players, I think it'll give more credence to this thought. But if you put Matthews at the inside position that we've had him on first and second down, I think that we're going to have the depth to be able to stop teams and the run game on early downs to put us in a position where we may see some third and six to third and tens where, you know, Matthews' speed off the edge can really flash and he can get back to being the, you know, the double-digit sack player that we've grown so accustomed to seeing. So, you know, I have really mixed feelings about Matthews moving to outside linebackers and outside linebacker. And I'm really hoping that it's going to be just on a pass rushing basis and that they do still play him on the interior in abundance.
Yeah, we'll see. Because they haven't been committed to saying, you know, oh, he's there all the time or anything like that. So we'll see if he still moves around or not. Let's talk about another player here, Julius Peppers. You know, Scott, the saying goes sometimes that it's better to get rid of a player a year too early rather than a year too late. Could that be the case with Peppers this year? And I'm not sure I really believe that myself, but his age makes it worth asking.
It certainly could be the case, but the Packers had to bring back Peppers. He made too many plays last year for the team and was very valuable and brought some force down the stretch. I really see Peppers this year playing significantly reduced snaps, maybe not starting week one, but they may give him a couple of games here early in the year where where he's going to see some good playing time. And then I see them really reducing his snaps until maybe late November to keep his legs fresh. And I do see that the majority of his snaps aren't necessarily going to be the way that we saw him 2 years ago where he was dropping into space as much. But it wouldn't shock me, Brian, if a third of his snaps this year come as a pass rusher on third down from the interior at a defensive tackle position, and really mixing and matching him and Clay Matthews and putting them, you know, side by side and seeing those two stunting back and forth. And I think Peppers will still have the quickness to be able to get around the edge if he's coming from an inside out stunt. And you know, Matthews will obviously be drawing significant attention. So as he's coming to the inside, who knows what happens if Peppers might get a free lane as well. So, I don't know how much he's going to necessarily play, in an elephant position that we've seen him play so frequently over the last 2 years. And again, I also think that he's going to see reduced snaps in a big way, which will create opportunities for other players.
Yeah, that's a good point about playing him a lot early on when he's fresh, take advantage of that, then kind of in the middle of the year, save him until the end. I can see that. I can buy that. Another player, remarkably, Nick Perry is taking part in his first offseason program this year. Isn't that amazing? How much do you think that's going to help him? Are we going to see a new Nick Perry in 2016?
Well, it definitely is a big year in his career. There's no doubt about it. I know it's only a one-year deal, but the Packers certainly made a solid investment in him, $5 million. So he's a lock to make the roster. As I was saying earlier with Clay Matthews playing on the inside, one of the reasons I really believe that is, as fans, we've always been sort of jonesing for more consistency out of Nick Perry as a pass rusher, right? Like, that's what we thought we were getting. You know, when we drafted him in the first round out of USC, we thought we were getting this elite complementary pass rusher to Clay Matthews and that we had USC bookends that were going to be meeting at the quarterback. Well, that necessarily hasn't been the case with Perry. But what he has been, and what really, for my buzz, does give just significant credence to my desire to see Matthews playing inside linebacker on first and second down, is Perry has just been a significantly underrated, a run stopper. He's done very well at holding the point in the run game. And I'm going to be curious to see, first and foremost, will that be a significant role that he takes on this year and how he's utilized? And then if so, how is that going to relate or translate to him being fresh and being able to potentially be a consistent pass rusher on third downs? And how is he used as a pass rusher on third downs? So going to be interesting to see, you know, throughout camp and then in the preseason, how early on their vision is to use Nick Perry. Are they going to use him for the potential that is a pass rusher, or are they going to use him for really what he's done best, and that's to be a run stopper?
I can see that, you know, with Mike Neal gone especially, he took up so many of the snaps that I can see Nick Perry playing a larger role, being almost a three-down player. Obviously, they're going to rotate him a little bit there, but I can see him playing more snaps than ever he's ever had before in 2016 than he had the previous four seasons at least. But we're talking this Friday morning to Scott McKenna of the Talk and Smack blog here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. He's BuzzBoy3 on Twitter. I probably don't pump that up enough, other people's Twitter accounts, so give him a follow. But Scott, continuing our discussion here, how many outside linebackers the Packers keep probably depends on whether you classify Dayton Jones as either a linebacker or a defensive lineman. But do you think this move, kind of playing him on the edge more, can bring out the best in Jones that we've all been waiting for?
You know, when I watched Jones at the Senior Bowl prior to being drafted, it was almost where I saw him best. Was in that sort of role. He looked quicker off the edge than what he's shown in his NFL career as a college player. So I'm wondering if maybe the Packers asked him to beef up a bit, and he lost a little bit of his quickness. And you know, now I'm going to be interested to see what his body looks like when he shows up at camp, and how his physique has potentially changed. And you know, he can't get too small, I don't think, because he'll likely be. What he'll be an elephant end, if you will, on early downs. I still see him potentially as a pass rusher on the interior and a rotational basis on third downs, at least as an option. And you know, so it'll be curious to see how the Packers have encouraged him to potentially change his physique. We all know it and remember what happened with Mike Neal, where they ended up having him lose 40 pounds or so. So. You know, it wouldn't shock me if on early downs you have, especially with Peppers gonna, and my projection playing reduced snaps, if you do have Jones on one end and Perry potentially on the other end as your outside linebackers, if you will, in the 3-4. I'm not sure that it really plays out as a 3-4, maybe more as a 4-3, but or a 4-2. But it's you know, that's kind of how I would project the way that Jones is going to be utilized this year.
You had to imagine. I mean, when the Packers took these guys back-to-back in the first round, that was kind of probably the thinking all along. That it's almost hard to believe now in retrospect that Nick Perry and Dayton Jones could be your starters on the edges, because they just haven't lived up to that. But that was kind of the plan, the great plan all along, perhaps. But that brings us to Jayrone Elliott now, as we continue our player-by-player breakdown. Scott, I think a lot of people are excited for Elliott based on his potential, but, you know, we've already talked about, like, four or five players here on this list of you know, player, the depth chart at the outside linebacker position. Will Jayrone Elliott always be too far down the depth chart to make much of an impact?
Well, he does offer one thing that nobody else that we've really mentioned, maybe outside of Clay, obviously. He has shown, and he's been Mr. August, right? Like, he has shown that he offers a pass rushing potential and ability that has been flashed. He looks like if he could ever put his burst off the ball and make that a consistent play in his game, you know, it's almost where he's. You know, you hear that there's an old Clay Matthews, Kevin Green clip that says, yeah, every good pass rusher is good for one offside the game, right? But it's you know, if Elliott could almost get his timing down, you know, coming off the ball on a consistent basis, I think he'd get less swallowed. He's got the quickness to be able to get over the corner. He's got the legs. And when he's had been given opportunities, he's made some plays. So, you know, for him to really – turn his potential being the real word, right, his upside, and making that a playmaking reality, if he can do so once again in August, I think at some point you have to just earn the opportunity to be given a shot to do so on third downs. And maybe if it's a third down situation where, you know, you've got Elliott at one outside linebacker and Matthews at the other, and Matthews has a guy like Peppers right next to him, and, you know, is it going to be Jones? Is it going to be Daniels? Is it going to be, you know, potentially even Ringo as a name that that we look at this year as a as an interior pass rusher next to Elliott? There could be opportunities for him to get one-on-one battles, you know, it may be interesting then to see how he'd perform against the right tackle.
Moving on, Kyler Fackrell, newest addition to the Packers outside linebacker core, an addition of this year's NFL draft. Scott, do you think Fackrell can play in his first year, or do you think he's one of those kinds that, you know, kind of gets a redshirt year in the NFL, maybe sticks around on the roster, but never really gets a whole lot of playing time? How's it going to break down for him?
First of all, with the investment the Packers made in him this year, and you know, the Packers, I think, had options there when he was selected. I'm really hoping he's game ready for Sundays this year and, you know, ready to play. I'm interested to see how he fits. He clearly has the physique. He's got the abilities to play as a three-down outside linebacker, has the length to hold the point. He has the athletic ability to drop in coverage, has the quickness to get the edge as a pass rusher. But, you know, I think what you're posing is what my biggest question is can he put it all together? And that's going to be, if you were to talk about one player and how they're going to translate on the team, that's going to be maybe the most interesting story in all of training camp, it might be Fackrell and how he's utilized. And is he going to be force-fed the defense and given a true opportunity to be able to play? And if so, how is he going to be utilized and whose position is he going to take? So, you know, he was drafted in the third round, which, you know, by definition makes me believe that Ted Thompson is great conviction that he thinks that Fackrell can make a difference in 2016. With the logjam of players, and as you kind of mentioned earlier, and I fully agree with, not a lot of guys that you say, well, boy, he has to be on the field, right? That's not the case with this group. A lot of players that you'd think can play in the NFL, but aren't necessarily going to be guys that have to be locks to be on the field. So Fackrell, you'd imagine, is going to be given an opportunity, and it's going to be really interesting to see whether he can put it all together. The other piece about it that's unique about Fackrell that we've touched on previously is he's not some 21 or 22-year-old rookie. Mm-hmm. 24 years old. So how much more is his body going to grow? Is his body going to develop? So, yeah, obviously when he gets on a pro program, as far as, you know, diet and weight room is concerned, his body could continue to change. But you'd like to think that he's going to be further along than most rookies would be, and hopefully he can put his length to use and be somewhat of a difference maker this year.
Yeah, for sure. As we kind of go through this, it just kind of sticks out to me. It's you know, just looking at the numbers game, it's almost hard to believe guys like Jayron Elliott and Kyler Fackrell can find playing time. But the more you think about it, you've got Clay Matthews, who might play a little bit at inside linebacker, kind of opening up things a little bit. You've got them maybe holding, you know, keeping Julius Peppers kind of a bigger rotation, keeping him on the sidelines a little bit, opening things up a little bit. You've got Dayton Jones, who will be occasionally an interior pass rusher, opening up things. So the more you think about it, the more opportunities there are for guys like this. And maybe that's appropriate as I talk about the next player on the list here. The Packers made Laurenti McCray a rare free agent signing this offseason. Scott, will he play on defense, or will his impact be almost exclusively on special teams?
You know, I think the special teams point is a good point, Brian, because, you know, that could end up being the biggest difference maker as to how some of these guys make the team. And you'd like to think that McCray is going to be a real good bet to make the team because he's such a special teams gem, a guru there, right? And maybe with him and Elliott lining up next to each other on special teams, they're going to bring Forrest coming down the inside and the punt return team, where Janice is maybe bringing the speed on the outside. And we may have a really, really dynamite special teams coverage unit with his addition. But will he play on the defense is going to be a big question. He almost, in some ways, a guy that he almost reminds me of is a little bit of a Lamont Hollenquist, to drop a name from the past, of the mid-90s, right? Where he clearly has the know-how. He's been trained properly. You can't play outside linebacker here in Denver if you don't have, the toughness, if you don't have that fight, that energy that you need, that tough-mindedness. You got to be able to do it all. So I think he's really the wild card of the group. He has the size that you really target for an outside linebacker in a 3-4. And he too is going to be one of those guys that, can he put it all together? And why was it that he didn't see significant playing time in Denver? Was it just because the players at the outside linebacker spot in Denver might be the best group that exists in the NFL? And because when he did play, he did, and when he was given opportunities, he did make some plays. And when he hits you, he's doing so with a vengeance. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he sort of fits into this group as well, because from an athletic perspective and from a pure size perspective, he maybe fits the mold better than most of the other players in the group. You know, where you got Thacker, who's 6'5", and Perry, who's not necessarily built like an outside linebacker, kind of stockier below the belt. And you got Peppers, who's, as we've talked, could play, limited snaps at that spot. And Jones, we know, he's not going to be dropping into coverage anytime soon, I wouldn't think. And Matthew's playing a rotational role potentially. So, I guess I just look at McCray and is he 6'3", maybe just shy of that, maybe just shy of 250. And those are sort of the credentials that you start with when you try to draw up the ideal figure of an outside linebacker. He kind of looks the part, and it'll be interesting to see, how that transitions into a Packer uniform.
Kind of one more player on the list here at the outside linebacker position. The one and only undrafted free agent the Packers signed at the position is Reggie Gilbert of Arizona. And obviously we don't know a ton about him yet, but Scott, just what do you think his chances are of making the roster?
Well, I think he's a definite prospect for the practice squad. He plays, in my opinion, he plays a little bit like Nick Perry. You know, I think they're built similarly. Their style of play is going to be in that mold, if you will. He's going to really try to get underneath the blocker, win the leverage battle. He's not going to, win on pure athleticism. Going to be with more effort and grit and push. So, I do think he's going to be a guy that'll be an intriguing watch late in preseason games. And I do think that he'll be a name that we will be discussing towards the end of August, when you start to put pen to paper and try to figure out what the practice squad will look like at the end of the preseason.
Yeah, it's with 5 preseason games this year, he should get plenty of playing time. So he'll have a chance to prove himself, if nothing else. Scott, it was fun breaking down the position here. As always, it's great to have you every month on the show, and look forward to our July talk.
Looking forward to it as well, man. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and make sure your mind finds some music.
All right. Sounds good, man. See you later.
Yep. Take care.
Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog, joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have him join us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
There's a couple items we could discuss about rule changes being implemented in the NFL. Some items from Fox analyst Mike Pereira. But you know what? We're going to save those until our next episode. I already got some plans to talk about those on Monday's edition of Railbird Central. Need some to talk about then, right? Because there's probably not going to be a whole lot of breaking news over the weekend. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that then. But there is one piece of news I just wanted to bring up today, and it doesn't even necessarily have to do something with the Packers directly, but there's an indirect relation here. The Chicago Bears on Thursday released former Packers quarterback Matt Blanchard, who, if you remember, really had a good offseason and training camp with the Packers last year. He did well, but he was really in a tough position after the Packers drafted Brett Hundley. You know, the Packers just couldn't keep Blanchard ahead of a guy that they invested so much into in terms of trading up to get Brett Hundley. And, you know, maybe Hundley was better all along, but still, you know, Blanchard played well. So I'm wondering if the Packers, you know, would be better off with Blanchard than either perhaps Joe Callahan or Marquise Williams. And understandably, the Packers probably won't make a move anytime in the next week. I imagine they'll very likely try to get through training camp and give these rookies as many reps as possible and see what they can do. You know, just analyze them over the course of the next, you know, they've been analyzing them, now continue to do so as the next week, possibly with the possibility of, you know, increased reps during mini camp, because quite often they give veterans like a day off. So that means, you know, just more chances for, you know, Callahan and Williams here. But if the Packers want, they could make a move sometime before training camp. Maybe they do that with Matt Blanchard. I don't know. Maybe Callahan and Marquise Williams are really good. And granted, you almost do get to the point where you get into training camp and you wonder, is keeping four quarterbacks worth it, when really, you know, maybe it's only worth it to keep three, perhaps, just to give, you know, let's just say they go with Callahan and just try to give him as much playing time as possible in the preseason, along with Hundley. That's part of it too. There's no simple answer to this, but anyway, I just wanted to bring it up as kind of one small, you know, thing here in the news that wanted to discuss. But next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, maybe not necessarily today, but, you know, looking forward here over the weekend and what, you know, Packers-related news coming up, the annual Jordy Nelson Celebrity Softball Game will be held Sunday at Fox City Stadium in Grand Chute at 1:05 p.m. Central Time. Annual event here that's been, you know, Donald Driver held it before Jordy Nelson, Brett Favre held it before Donald Driver, so it's kind of a tradition here in Northeast Wisconsin. If you live out of the area, you don't know much about it. It's a nice little annual event that's been going on for years with some, you know, big notable names like Pro Bowlers, and, you know, obviously Brett Favre is a name that transcends even the Pro Bowl. But, you know, it's just, you know, a tradition here. And last I saw, tickets are still available through the website of the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. That's where the event is held, at their home, Fox City Stadium. Proceeds from the event go to Young Life. That's a charitable endeavor that Nelson supports. And really, this event just goes to show how big football is in both America and Green Bay in specific, that thousands of people will come to watch football players play a barely competitive softball game, just to see them and support them in their charitable efforts, and you know, perhaps maybe get a photograph or a signature from them. Rosters are out. It'll be offense versus defense as usual. And I did see that Aaron Rodgers was on the roster for the offense, in addition to several other players, and Clay Matthews is there for the defense, and a couple other notable big-name players, in addition to some young ones as well. It's a good chance to see these rookies, too, you know, for the first time for maybe many people. So that's an interesting aspect of it as well. So that's taking place on Sunday. And then on Sunday evening, so that takes place in the afternoon. On Sunday evening, the Mike and Jessica McCarthy Invitational Dinner is going to take place at the Monona Terrace in Madison. They do this every year for 5 or 6 years running here, benefiting the American Family Children's Hospital. It takes always place. It takes place the day before the Gulf Invitational, so that'll be held on Monday. Ticket sales are closed for Sunday's dinner. They were on sale, but they kind of they've sold out already. So, look for coverage in the media of both Nelson's softball game and McCarthy's dinner. You'll probably see that over the weekend or on Monday, the day after, as reporters, you know, wrap things up and they appear in the next edition of the newspaper, things like that. It also, just for what it's worth, I have no clue whether they're taking part in it or not, but I know graduation ceremonies for Stanford take place this weekend, and as well as UCLA. I know Kenny Clark probably isn't graduating. He was only a redshirt sophomore this past year. But what that means is that the scholastic obligations that, you know, these players, Kenny Clark, Kyle Murphy, Dean Lowry at Northwestern, they're done, and they can now take part in the off-season program. So, in fact, I think they may have already have joined the team, you know, just in the past few days as like classes ended and things like that. So, they may have missed a couple weeks of OTAs, but at least they're coming back in time for mini camp, and that's a chance to learn here a little bit in the off-season. So, it'll be fun to see those players join the team next week. So those are all kind of events happening, like I said, in the Packers calendar here over the weekend and in the next few days. And additionally, not having anything to do with the current Packers team, I know Brett Favre, he's signing autographs at Waukesha Sports Cards today on Friday. He's taking part in the annual Trek 100 bicycle race, charitable race. On Saturday, those are also kind of Packers-related events taking place, so look forward to that. But that pretty much does it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us this morning on the show. Thank you to Scott McKenna, the Talkin' Smack Blog, for joining us and being our guest. And that does it, folks. My call to action is always, as usual, if you've not done so already, appreciate it if you would give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask, because the show is free of subscription, no paywall, nothing like that. So if you could do us a solid, just go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. And if you could do that for us, we'd greatly appreciate it, because it helps people find the show. We want a big listenership as possible. That's our goal. And to give you great content too. All right, folks, have a good weekend. We'll see you again on Monday. I already have a guest lined up. We've got Joe Zenzola of 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee's producer of the Bill Michaels Show as well. Going to talk to him about kind of a mini camp preview for the Green Bay Packers. So excited to talk to him on Monday. But that's Monday. We'll see you, folks. Like I said, have a good Friday. I leave you today with a song called Break, Build, Burn by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya!